Welcome to The Fabricator's Edge, cutting through complexity in manufacturing and metalwork. Real talk, smart solutions, and no-nonsense insight from the shop floor to the supply chain.
Okay, let's dive into the sources you've shared with us. We're looking at something that's, well, absolutely foundational to how our food makes it from the farm to our plate, but maybe often overlooked: sheet metal in food production.
That's right. When you think about food processing or packaging, sheet metal is just everywhere. It's the frame of the machine, the tanks holding ingredients, the conveyors moving product along. It really is the physical backbone of the whole operation.
And what really struck us looking through your materials is that the story here isn't just that metal is used, but how smarter design and fabrication of that sheet metal is actually transforming the industry.
Exactly. The food world is, you know, constantly changing. You've got evolving consumer demands, you have incredibly strict global regulations, and then there's the ever-present need to optimize costs. These pressures are really forcing a revolution in how this fundamental material is used.
So our mission in this deep dive is to unpack the critical insights from your sources. We want to understand how innovative sheet metal design is fundamentally boosting hygiene, performance, and, well, efficiency across the board in food production lines.
And we'll zero in on the absolute necessity of hygienic design, the tangible gains in operations that smart design delivers, and maybe why choosing the right partner for fabrication is becoming a genuinely strategic decision, not just, you know, a transactional one.
Let's start with just how fundamental sheet metal is. It's really embedded in the machinery, isn't it?
It really is. Almost every piece of modern food equipment relies heavily on sheet metal components for its construction and function. We're talking structural frames, hoppers that might receive raw materials, chutes that guide product flow, storage tanks, protective enclosures for controls, and all sorts of conveyor systems.
And at its core, sheet metal is just metal formed into thin, flat pieces.
Yep.
Simple enough. But it's the properties of the metals themselves that make them so crucial for this challenging environment.
Precisely. You need materials that are strong and durable, obviously, to handle heavy loads and constant use. But they also need to be malleable, ductile, and formable, so they can be shaped into the complex geometries required for efficient processing and, critically, for cleaning. That formability is key.
And when we talk about the specific metals, what are the main go-tos?
Primarily steel, with a heavy, heavy emphasis on various grades of stainless steel. Aluminum is also used, perhaps for weight considerations or, you know, thermal properties sometimes. Occasionally, you might see copper or brass in very specific applications, but stainless steel is overwhelmingly the material of choice for food contact and processing environments.
Yeah. Okay, so we've established it's everywhere and why the material properties is so important. Now, you mentioned the pressures driving innovation. Let's explore those. What's the number one driver forcing designers to rethink how they use sheet metal?
Without question, it's hygiene and food safety. This is the absolute non-negotiable. Global regulations are incredibly stringent, driven by organizations like the GFSI, and consumers, well, they demand complete assurance that their food is safe.
And that links directly back to how the equipment is physically designed.
Fundamentally. Equipment design is your first line of defense against contamination. It must be designed to be easily and, crucially, effectively cleaned and sanitized. The goal is to eliminate any place where harmful pathogens like Listeria, Salmonella, or E. coli, or even things like allergens or physical contaminants, could hide or, worse, thrive.
Right. It sounds like it's not just about cleaning up messes after they happen, but actually preventing them from even starting.
Exactly right. Think of hygienic design as a critical preventative program. It's a prerequisite that supports your entire food safety plan, which is often built on HACCP principles, hazard analysis, and critical control points. You're proactively reducing risks at the source, which aligns perfectly with that whole HACCP philosophy of prevention over correction.
Okay, so safety is paramount. Got it. What's the next big pressure-pushing innovation?
Operational efficiency. Food production is often a high-volume, relatively low-margin business, so companies are constantly looking to maximize throughput and minimize costs wherever they can.
And design plays a role there beyond just the machine's basic function. How so?
Oh, absolutely. Innovative design can significantly reduce the time equipment is down for cleaning and maintenance. That's huge. It can enable much faster product changeovers, which is especially critical now with allergen management being so important. Optimized designs can increase processing speed and throughput, and sometimes even contribute to lower initial manufacturing costs or potentially reduced energy consumption.
And the environment itself must be pretty tough on the equipment, I imagine.
It really is. Food processing plants are often harsh environments. You're dealing with temperature extremes, high moisture levels, constant exposure to corrosive substances from the food products themselves, things like acids or salts. And then you have the aggressive cleaning chemicals used daily. The equipment just needs to be built to withstand all of that, day in, day out.
So durability is key for longevity and reliability, then. Makes sense.
Absolutely. Robust construction and using the right materials ensure the equipment can reliably perform over its expected lifespan without frequent breakdowns, which, of course, ties right back directly to operational efficiency. Downtime kills efficiency.
So hygiene, efficiency, durability, the big three, it sounds like. Let's really drill down into hygienic design now, because your sources highlight this repeatedly. What are the key principles and maybe standards designers are working with here?
Well, like I said, hygienic design is just non-negotiable. If equipment traps contaminants, you're looking at potential recalls, massive liability issues, and, frankly, irreparable damage to a brand's reputation. It's not just some technical requirement. It's a fundamental business imperative for safety, public health, and compliance.
Are there, like, official rule books or guidelines for this stuff?
Yes, definitely. There are several key organizations that provide very detailed guidance. You've got EHEDG, that's the European Hygienic Engineering and Design Group, and 3A Sanitary Standards, Inc., primarily in North America, their major ones. They set detailed guidelines for materials, design principles, fabrication methods. NSF International also plays a significant role with standards related to food equipment sanitation. These standards are essentially what designers and fabricators follow to ensure equipment meets the necessary hygienic criteria.
And meeting these is crucial for broader food safety schemes.
Oh, absolutely. Meeting these standards is often essential for compliance with major food safety schemes benchmarked by GFSI, for instance.
Okay, let's talk specifics on materials and finishes, because this seems absolutely critical according to your sources. What metals actually make the cut for food contact?
The preferred choice by far is food-grade stainless steel. We're primarily talking ASI grades 304 and 316, along with their low-carbon versions, which are 304L and 316L.
And why stainless specifically? What makes it so good?
Its key advantage is its corrosion resistance. It has this passive chromium oxide layer that naturally forms on its surface and protects it. It's also highly formable, which is important for complex shapes. And crucially, it cleans very well. It's easy to get back to a sanitary state.
You mentioned two main grades, 304 and 316. What's the difference there?
The main difference is that 316 contains molybdenum. This gives it significantly better resistance, particularly to pitting and crevice corrosion, especially in environments where you have high levels of chlorides, think salty brines, or strong acids. So for more aggressive applications, 316 or 316L is usually necessary.
Okay. And are there grades to avoid?
Well, it's worth noting that some standards, like 3A, might actually restrict certain grades, like 303 stainless, from food contact zones because they contain elements like sulfur that make them easier to machine but less corrosion resistant, which could compromise hygiene over time.
In other metals, are things like regular steel out?
Generally, yes. Standard carbon steel or galvanized steel are usually unsuitable for direct food contact because they can corrode relatively easily, and that corrosion can create pockets for bacteria to hide. Other metals like aluminum might be used in non-contact areas or sometimes with special food-grade coatings, but for direct contact, stainless is king.
Your sources really, really emphasize surface finish. Why is that specific detail so crucial?
Because even tiny imperfections, things you might not even see, can trap bacteria. A rough surface creates microscopic nooks and crannies where microbes can attach, hide from cleaning agents, and form biofilms. And biofilms are notoriously difficult to remove completely, so a smooth finish is absolutely essential.
Is there a standard for smoothness?
Yes. A common benchmark is a surface roughness average, usually called raw, below 0.8 micrometers. This is often achieved with what's known as a number 4 finish. But for more demanding applications, you might need even finer finishes, maybe closer to 0.5 or 0.4 raw.
And how do fabricators actually achieve and maintain that level of smoothness? It sounds specialized.
It definitely takes specialized techniques and care. After welding, for instance, processes like grinding and polishing are used meticulously to smooth the weld seams and surrounding areas. Then there's passivation, that's a chemical treatment applied after fabrication, especially after welding, to restore that protective chromium oxide layer we talked about and enhance the overall corrosion resistance.
And I saw mention of electropolishing.
Right. Electropolishing is an electrochemical process. It basically levels the microscopic peaks and valleys on the surface, creating an incredibly smooth, passive, and highly cleanable finish. It's often used for the most critical food contact areas where maximum hygiene is required. Leading fabricators also have strict practices, like using smooth glass bead finishes to remove tiny burrs without roughening the surface, and crucially, maintaining dedicated areas or processes just for stainless steel to prevent any cross-contamination from mild steel fabrication, which could lead to rust spots later.
Okay, so materials and finishes are foundational. What about the physical shape and assembly? How do you design the geometry itself for cleanability?
This is where those hygienic design principles really come into play. Beyond just the surface smoothness, the overall design must actively prevent product buildup and allow cleaning agents and rinses to reach absolutely everywhere. Surfaces need to be non-porous, non-absorbent, compatible with the cleaning chemicals you'll be using, and completely free of defects like pits or scratches that could trap material.
What about how different pieces are joined together? That seems like a potential weak spot.
Junctions and joints are definitely notorious trouble spots. The best approach is almost always continuous welds, ideally TIG welds, which are then ground completely smooth and flush with the surrounding surface. This eliminates gaps or overlaps where product or microbes could lodge. Mechanical fasteners like bolts and screws are generally avoided in direct product contact zones unless they are very specifically designed with hygienic principles in mind, which is complex. Even couplings and seals need to be of a specific sanitary design and correctly installed to prevent leaks or crevices.
And you mentioned drainability before. Preventing liquid from just sitting there is a big deal, right?
Oh, huge. Drainability is absolutely non-negotiable. All surfaces, horizontal or otherwise, must be self-draining to prevent any pooling, whether it's product residue, cleaning solutions, rinse water, or even condensation from temperature changes. Any standing liquid is just a perfect breeding ground for bacteria. This means designing in slopes, even subtle ones, into horizontal surfaces, often a minimum of 3 degrees or about 3%, is recommended by guidelines like EHDG.
It really sounds like every single detail in the design has to actively fight against contamination. No room for error.
Pretty much. You have to rigorously avoid things like niches, dead spaces, think of unused pipe stubs or blind holes, pits, cracks, crevices, open seams, and particularly sharp internal corners where material can get stuck and cleaning energy is reduced. Internal corners should always have generous radii. EHUG guidelines often suggest at least 3 millimeters, sometimes even 6 millimeters or more, just to make them easy to swipe clean effectively.
What about hollow parts, like in frames?
Hollow sections within frameworks, like tubes, must be hermetically sealed, usually with continuous welds at the ends, to prevent anything moisture, pests, product debris from getting inside where it absolutely cannot be cleaned. Any attachments to surfaces should ideally be welded on continuously around the attachment rather than bolted through the surface, which inevitably creates hard-to-clean threads and gaps. And even things like gaskets and seals need to be made of appropriate hygienic materials and installed perfectly so they seal completely without leaving tiny gaps or extruding into the product area.
And it all comes back to that classic principle. If you can't get to it, you simply can't clean it properly.
That's fundamental accessibility. Equipment must be designed and installed so that all surfaces, including non-product contact areas that might drip or drain onto product zones below, are easily accessible for thorough inspection, cleaning, and routine maintenance. There should be enough space around and between components. Leading fabricators understand this deeply and actively support designs that minimize inaccessible areas. This might involve using precision folding and welding techniques to create seamless joins where possible, or, as mentioned, using angled or rounded profiles for frames instead of traditional square tubing to promote runoff and improve access for cleaning around them.
So by designing out these potential problems right from the very start, you're essentially building that robust foundation for food safety plans like HACCP, making prevention the core strategy.
That's exactly the core principle of prevention in action. Instead of relying solely on cleaning and sanitation procedures to try and eliminate contaminants after they've potentially found a place to hide and multiply in hard-to-reach spots, you design the equipment so those spots simply don't exist in the first place. Eliminating those harborages, the crevices, the dead ends, the pooling points drastically reduces the inherent risks of microbial growth and biofilm formation. It aligns perfectly with a proactive, risk-based approach to food safety.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, beyond hygiene, how does this kind of smart design translate into those tangible operational efficiencies you mentioned earlier?
Well, the biggest impact is often seen in minimizing downtime. It's quite simple. Equipment that is designed hygienically is just faster and easier to clean thoroughly.
Right. So less time spent cleaning means more time actually producing product.
Exactly. Your sources mentioned studies showing significant reductions in cleaning time are achievable, sometimes, you know, up to 30% or more. Features like toolless disassembly, especially common on things like conveyors now, allow operators to take equipment apart for cleaning and inspection much more quickly without needing a toolbox. Improved accessibility, while it's crucial for cleaning, also naturally speeds up routine maintenance tasks. And of course, building with durable materials using robust techniques means the equipment simply breaks down less often, reducing that costly unplanned repair downtime.
That makes sense. And some fabricators can help there, too.
Yeah, some fabricators understand the urgency and can offer things like really fast turnaround on critical spare parts, which is absolutely vital for getting a production line back up and running quickly if a component does happen to fail.
What about changing between different products on the same line? Allergens are a huge concern there.
Absolutely. Streamlining product changeovers is critical, particularly when you're managing allergens. Hygienic design ensures you can perform a much faster but also more effective clean break between different products. You have higher confidence that you've completely removed residues from the previous run. Additionally, modular design approaches can sometimes contribute here by allowing certain sections of a line to be perhaps quickly swapped out or reconfigured for different products.
You also briefly touched on energy efficiency earlier. How does that fit in?
Yeah, while the sources don't go into massive detail, it stands to reason that optimizing designs could potentially reduce the need for, say, excessive amounts of hot water, harsh cleaning chemicals, or prolonged heating or cooling cycles during the cleaning process. So indirectly, better design could contribute to energy and resource savings, adding another layer of operational efficiency.
It really sounds like all these different aspects of design, hygiene, durability, cleanability, efficiency, are all deeply interconnected. One impacts the others.
They absolutely are. It's a system. A more corrosion-resistant grade of stainless steel isn't just durable. It's inherently easier to clean and less likely to harbor bacteria, which directly improves hygiene, and can potentially increase throughput by reducing that cleaning time. A design change that makes a component easier to access for cleaning directly reduces downtime. Conversely, poor durability leading to frequent breakdowns completely cripples production schedules. It's a complex interplay where the quality of the initial design and the quality of the fabrication execution are both absolutely fundamental to achieving any of these benefits. You know, if the welding isn't perfectly smooth or the specified surface finish isn't achieved correctly, then all the intended hygienic and performance goals are immediately compromised.
That's a great point. Can you give us some concrete examples of how these principles actually show up in specific pieces of equipment we might see on a food production line?
Sure, let's look at a few. Take equipment frames, for instance. Older designs might have used standard square or rectangular tubing. The problem is these create flat top surfaces where liquids, dust, and debris inevitably collect, creating cleaning challenges. Modern, more innovative designs often use rounded profiles or angled profiles specifically to promote runoff and prevent accumulation. Any hollow sections within those profiles are meticulously sealed, usually with continuous welds, to prevent internal contamination. And the overall structure of the frame is designed thoughtfully to allow easy access for cleaning around and behind all the mounted components.
Okay, what about something like hoppers and chutes where the product directly flows?
Right. For these, the primary focus is ensuring smooth, uninterrupted product flow and preventing any product buildup. This means striving for seamless construction where possible, maybe using forming techniques. Where seams are necessary, they must be continuously welded, typically with TIG welding, and then ground completely smooth and flush. Internal corners always need those generous radii we talked about to prevent product from lodging, and naturally the surfaces in contact with food are specified with that essential smooth finish that rack less than 0.8 micrometers usually. Steep angles are also incorporated into the design to make them inherently self-draining. Some advanced designs might even feature things like hinged sections or easily removable bottom cones for unparalleled access for inspection and cleaning.
How about the enclosures that protect controls or electronics? They don't touch food, but they're in the environment.
Exactly. Even though they don't typically have direct food contact, hygienic design principles still matter greatly because they exist within the production environment, often a wet or washdown environment. They're typically made of stainless steel for corrosion resistance. They often feature sloped tops. This discourages operators from placing items on them, which can be a contamination risk, and it also allows liquid runoff during cleaning. External surfaces are designed to be smooth, free of unnecessary ledges or exposed fasteners where dust or debris could accumulate. They need high IP ratings, ingress protection ratings, to ensure they can withstand aggressive washdowns without water getting inside. And they use hygienic seals on doors and cable entries. Importantly, accessibility for internal maintenance of the components inside is also designed in from the start.
Conveyors are absolutely everywhere in food plants. How are they changing based on these principles?
Conveyors are a great example of where hygienic design has made huge strides. Modern conveyors are increasingly designed with cleanability and accessibility as the absolute top priorities. You'll often see open frame designs, getting away from closed tubes or box sections, which allows easy visual inspection and physical access to virtually all surfaces for cleaning. Look for features promoting tool-less disassembly, like quick-release belt tensioners or removable rollers, that drastically speed up the cleaning and sanitation process. Surfaces, including the frame members themselves, are often sloped to ensure good drainability. They, of course, must use appropriate food-grade belting material suitable for the application and cleaning regime. And an interesting design innovation that's emerging is the use of fabricated sheet metal supports, sometimes bent into specific profiles, instead of traditional tubing for the framework. This can offer hygiene benefits by eliminating those hard-to-verify internal voids and potentially offer manufacturing advantages, too. Some specialist fabricators, leveraging their sheet metal expertise, actually offer conveyors designed specifically with these open frames and sloped supports explicitly for easier cleaning and better hygiene.
And finally, what about tanks? Holding tanks, mixing tanks?
Tanks are a classic sheet metal fabrication application in food and beverage. Food-grade tanks are almost exclusively made from stainless steel, typically 304 or 316, depending on the product's corrosivity. The interior surface is absolutely critical and needs to be seamless wherever possible, achieved through high-quality, continuous TIG welds that are then meticulously ground perfectly smooth and blended into the parent metal. Complete drainability through properly sloped bottoms and strategically placed outlets is a must. The internal finish is paramount, often requiring that rack of less than 0.8 micrometers, or sometimes even finer, perhaps down to 0.4 raw. Electropolishing might be specified for the smoothest, most passive, and most cleanable surface possible, especially in dairy or pharmaceutical applications. These tanks are often highly customized to specific dimensions and can integrate complex features like heating or cooling jackets, agitator mounts, or various hygienically designed sensor ports, all requiring skilled fabrication. Fabricators capable of high-quality, consistent, continuous TIG welding and finishing are absolutely essential for producing compliant tanks.
It's clear these principles aren't just for individual pieces, but they must influence the entire line design too, perhaps through things like modularity or integrating different materials.
Exactly right. You see modular design being used more and more. It offers flexibility in layout, can make transport and installation easier, and sometimes allows sections to be removed for more intensive offline cleaning. There's also strategic material integration. While stainless steel is dominant, you have to use the right food-safe polymers or elastomers for things like seals, gaskets, and conveyor belts, choosing materials that are compatible with the food product and the cleaning regime. And importantly, modern designs are increasingly accommodating integrated sensor technology in a hygienic way, embedding sensors for process monitoring or control without creating new, hard-to-clean niches or crevices.
So making all of this actually happen, executing these designs to the high standard required, it clearly requires more than just a basic metal shop down the road.
Oh, absolutely. Realizing the full potential of these innovative, hygienically focused designs relies heavily on high-quality fabrication capabilities and, just as critically, on collaboration between the equipment designer or buyer and the fabricator. This really isn't just a transactional relationship anymore. It's increasingly becoming a co-creation process. The concept of design for manufacturability, or DFM, is key here, but it's evolving. It's about bringing the fabricator into the conversation early, ideally right at the conceptual design phase.
What's the main benefit of involving the fabricator so early on in the process?
You get to leverage their deep expertise in working with the materials and processes. They can look at an initial design concept and suggest modifications that optimize it not just for efficient manufacturing, which saves cost and time, but also for enhanced hygiene, better performance, and overall cost effectiveness. They can help refine complex geometries, maybe suggest ways to reduce the number of welds needed. Remember, every weld is a potential cleaning challenge. They can advise on the most appropriate and achievable surface finishes for specific areas and help integrate features like ports or mounting brackets more efficiently and hygienically.
So it leads to a better end product?
Yes, this early collaboration leads to reduced time to market because you iron out potential manufacturing issues early, it leads to better cost control. And crucially, it helps ensure the final product meets all the necessary compliance standards right from day one. It really transforms the relationship from just a supplier taking orders to a strategic build partner who contributes value. Prototyping also plays a role here, maybe using rapid prototyping methods, sometimes even 3D metal printing, for testing really complex components to test and refine designs before committing to full production. Fabricators who offer that kind of prototyping support can be invaluable in this process.
So let's bring it back to the listener. If you're in the food industry, maybe involved in sourcing new equipment or planning factory upgrades, what are the key criteria you should really be looking for in a sheet metal fabrication partner, looking beyond just the initial price tag?
Okay, first and foremost, you need to look for partners with proven, documented experience, specifically working with food-grade stainless steel, the 304s, the 316s, the L grades, and a solid track record in highly regulated sectors. That could be food, but also pharmaceuticals, or maybe even critical infrastructure projects where quality is paramount. They absolutely need to demonstrate a deep understanding of hygienic design standards like EHGGA and 3A, and importantly, understand how those design principles integrate with broader food safety management systems like HACCP and GFSI requirements. They need to speak the language.
Right. What about their specific technical capabilities? What should you look for there?
There are critical capabilities you need to verify. The ability to perform high-quality, consistent, continuous welds, especially TIG welding. The capability and knowledge to conduct proper post-weld cleaning and passivation treatments to restore corrosion resistance.
Yeah.
The ability to achieve and verify specific surface finishes, maybe offering options like electropolishing or those smooth glass bead finishes specifically designed to eliminate microscopic burrs and crevices without damaging the surface. You should look for partners who explicitly state and follow practices to prevent surface contamination, like having segregated areas for stainless steel work to ensure no mild steel residue gets onto your food grade components, which can cause rusting later.
And quality systems.
Robust quality management systems are essential. Look for certifications like ISO 9001 as a baseline. Ideally, maybe even ISO 14001 shows a commitment to environmental management, which is increasingly important. They should have the in-house capacity and expertise to provide customization across a range of key components, commonly needed tanks, chutes, complex frames, conveyors, enclosures. Seamless integration of CAD/CAM systems is usually a good indicator of efficiency and accuracy, and some partners even offer proactive design optimization support, using their expertise to help you refine your concepts for better outcomes.
And beyond just the technical skills and certifications, what about the relationship?
You really want to look for responsiveness and a genuine willingness, even an appetite, to collaborate early in the design process. That's a sign of a true partner. Providers who offer value-added services like that fast turnaround for critical spare parts, or who demonstrate attention to detail by using appropriate food-safe packaging for finished components, show they really understand the operational pressures and specific needs of the food industry. These aren't just nice-to-haves, they're indicators of a partner who truly understands the demands of your environment and is properly equipped to meet them consistently.
It's really clear from everything we've discussed that thinking strategically about sheet metal design and fabrication is fundamentally changing food production, and definitely for the better.
It really is. It's moving this essential material beyond just being a basic structural element to become a really powerful strategic tool. A tool for enhancing safety, for boosting efficiency, and for improving the overall performance and reliability on the production floor.
And hygienic design, which maybe once was seen just as a necessary compliance burden or perhaps an added cost, is now, based on what you're saying, undeniably a source of competitive advantage. It demonstrably reduces food safety risks, it can extend equipment lifespan, and it significantly cuts that costly operational downtime.
Absolutely. So for anyone listening who is involved in specifying or purchasing food processing equipment, or maybe planning major factory upgrades, it's just crucial to look deeper than the basic spec sheet or the lowest price. You need to understand the underlying design principles, especially the hygienic ones, and critically, the quality and expertise of the fabrication behind them. That's where the real long-term performance and safety dividends truly lie.
Okay, that's a perfect place to wrap up our exploration. Here's a final thought for you, our listeners, to consider after this deep dive. How does the invisible detail, the often unseen but deliberate design and meticulous craftsmanship in the metalwork of food equipment, impact the fundamental trust you place in the safety and the quality of the food you consume every single day?
Thanks for tuning in to The Fabricator's Edge. For more insights and to see what we're building, visit us at dutton-eng.co.uk. Until next time, keep it precise.